The word of God on which we will meditate this afternoon is recorded for us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, where we read, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Dear friends, how do you know if someone loves you? Really loves you? Is it the box of candy or that beautiful bouquet of roses? Or maybe it's how many times they actually say the words to you, "I love you." Or is it coming home and finding that the carpets are cleaned and the dishes are done? Or perhaps it's holding hands that seals the deal. Or maybe it's a commitment of time. Time with the kids, some activities with them, or making sure you schedule those dinner dates. How do you know if someone loves you? Today, this afternoon, we're going to focus on how God makes it crystal clear that he loves you. And we'll see that his love is a matter of death and that his love is a matter of life. Our text begins with God's description of love, and that's a description that goes well beyond the five love languages of gifts, words, service, touch, and time. Oh, to be sure, those are important. They're valuable in human relationships. But the love of God is on a whole different level. It's on a whole different plane. God describes love by describing the mission of his Son. A mission in which Jesus laid down his life for us. Let's understand, however, that no one took Jesus' life from him on that dark Friday 2,000 years ago. He gave it up. He offered himself. He willingly left the glory of heaven. Jesus went from beauty beyond measure to betrayal by a close follower. Jesus went from divine honor to fear-laden denial. Jesus went from the favor of his heavenly Father to flesh-tearing flogging. He went from spectacular surroundings to spit on his face. He went from the crown of glory to the crown of thorns. Jesus went from angels' praise to soldiers' cruel beatings. He went from majesty to mockery, from perfection to pity, from glory to gory. He went from heaven's mansions to hell's misery, to anguish, to abandonment by his own dear Father, to bearing the crushing weight of all of our sins and all the guilt and punishment that went with them. Jesus left the glory of heaven to receive the full wrath of his Father on his body, and more than that, on his soul. Jesus' mission was clear. It was a mission to love through sacrifice, to go to the cross, to suffer hell, and to die. His mission was complete focus, a focus that was directed on you and me, a focus of devoted love. Yes, Jesus' love gives, And he gave himself so you and I could have the forgiveness of sins. And what's better than that? What's more important than the forgiveness of sins? Just one of my sins, unforgiven, would banish me from heaven. Just one of my sins, not forgiven, would earn me eternal death. Yes, Jesus' love and our forgiveness is a matter of death. Jesus' death on the cross for us. His love cost him. It cost him his life. It didn't cost us a thing. But oh, how we're blessed through his love. In love, Jesus did keep his focus on us through betrayal, through denial, through floggings, through thorns. His love pushed him through spit, through fists, through mockery. His unfailing love endured the full fury of his Father. It endured the full agony of hell. All this so you and I could have life. Life with him now, today, and life with him forever. Yes, Jesus' love gives. By laying down his life, by giving his life, he won for us our greatest treasure, that absolute truth, that certainty, that heaven is our home because he is our Savior. Let's not race past this idea, the richness and the depth of what it means to really have life with Jesus now and life with him forever. To have life with Jesus now means you're never alone. You can call on him at any time, anywhere, about anything. To have life with Jesus now means that you're secure in his love, that you're safe in his promises. To have life with Jesus now, it means that you're connected to his power, to receive his strength, to fight against Satan's many temptations. To have life with Jesus now means that you're blessed to receive in the Lord's Supper the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and for the strengthening of your faith. Yes, to have life with Jesus now means to have peace with God. True peace. It's yours now. To have life with Jesus now means you don't have to fear death. Because life with Jesus forever means death can't win. Death won't hold us. Death is our birth into eternity with Jesus. Life with Jesus forever means no more sadness, no more sorrow. It means no more tears. It means perfection. Life with Jesus forever means that we're going to know beauty beyond measure, splendor without comparison. Life with Jesus forever means that a crown has been fitted. It's been measured up for you. And best of all, it means that you will live with God in his presence, at his feet, forever. Knowing all of this, knowing that Christ laid down his life for us, and then trusting in these wonderful promises of what it means to have life with Jesus now and life with him forever, let's then live each day in confidence. Not only in confidence, but let's live in lavishness, the lavishness of his love. St. John, in this very same chapter, at the very beginning of it, he wrote these words. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, And that is what we are. As God's child, you're so loved. You're so treasured. You're so precious. You're worth more than any amount of silver or gold, because we know that it was not with gold or silver, but it was with his holy, precious blood that he shed for us on the cross, that he laid down his life for us, that he rescued you, that he saved you from sin's eternal punishment. He saved you from Satan's cruel grasp. He saved you from death's dark hold. All of this he's done because he loves you. Through the prophet Isaiah, God reassures you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. During this Lenten season, we've been focusing on the hands of the Passion. As Isaiah speaks of it, God's righteous right hand represents power and strength. It's a hand that always does what is right and proper. In righteousness, God remained true to his promise to save us by sending a Savior. He remained faithful to the very last detail of his promises. What comfort it is for us as we rest in God's perfect fulfillment of our promised deliverance. Jesus suffered the full punishment of our sins, and then he gives you his righteousness. You're dressed today in the holiness of Christ. That's the richness of having life with Jesus right now, and the assurance of having life with him forever. Dear friends, it's Good Friday, and on Good Friday, we obviously focus clearly on Jesus as we worship, as we do every time that we worship. But let's not forget our response. Our response to the good news of Jesus' death and life, love. Our response doesn't end as we walk out those doors today. Not at all. Jesus' death and life, love reminds us, as John wrote, that we ought to lay down our life for others, for people we know and for people we don't know. To lay down our life for others means perhaps that we're not going to have to die for someone, but it does mean sharing. Means sharing Christ's love with others. And quite frankly, that is a matter of life and death. To not show and to never share God's love would seem to indicate that we're too attached to this life and what it has to offer. Show Jesus to others. Let's show Jesus to one another. Let's do it with our words. Let's do it with our actions. One writer said this. He said, "It's impossible for a Christian, someone who has received God's love by grace through faith." He said, "It's impossible for a Christian to not show God's love." In early 3rd century Christianity, historians recorded an interesting, clear, simple description of those people living amongst them who were followers of Jesus. Here's what the historians wrote. Look at how they love each other. That's it. Look at how they love each other. Are those who observe us today as Christians, are they able to say the same thing about you and me? Look at how they love each other. As we live and speak and interact with one another during these COVID times, look at how they love each other. As we live in these times of political and social divisiveness, look at how they love each other. As we live during these times when our faith, our Christian faith and values seem to be more and more under attack, look at how they love one another. May our love for souls, bought by the love of Jesus, move us to lay down our lives for others, even if it means personal sacrifice. Even if it means holding our tongue and not having to have it my way. Even if it means not making life all about me. Let's serve one another and serve others. Let's serve in a way that it shocks them. Wow, look at how they love and serve. Serving without having to get my way, serving without expecting something in return, serving so that Christ's love, the light of his love, just shines through us, serving so that we bring God all glory. Some 65 years ago, the year was 1956, five missionaries and their families traveled to share the good news of Jesus and his love with the Wadani tribe of eastern Ecuador. The missionaries knew that this tribe was well known for not welcoming outsiders. In fact, this tribe was known for their vicious, cruel spear attacks. Now, the missionaries had a small airplane, and they used it as part of their plan to do flyovers for quite a while over this tribe. There's more details that I won't go into now. And they did that for quite a while. During one of those earlier flights, as one of the missionaries' pilot was about to leave, his young son was standing there next to him outside the plane. Father looked at his son and he said, "You see how far away the sun is? That's just a fraction of how much your daddy loves you." And his son paused for a moment. He looked up at his dad in the cockpit. He says, "Dad, are you ready to shoot the Wadani?" His father, without much pause, looked down and said, "Son, we can't shoot the Wadani. They're not ready to die. We are." All five of those missionaries were violently speared to death in the Amazon jungle in their attempt to share the good news of Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Show his love. Share his love. It may not result in you losing your life, although every year thousands of brothers and sisters in Christ, some would estimate it at tens of thousands, die because of their faith, because of their love for Jesus. God help us to be ready and willing to give up personal conveniences. God help us to care more about serving others than being served. God help us to be more interested in winning souls than in winning arguments. God help us to prioritize the use of our resources to support the work of sharing this good news of a Savior who loves the whole world. Who are your Wadani. For whom are you willing to risk some popularity, some friendships, some convenience, maybe employment? For whom are you willing to invest your time, your resources, your emotional energy in order to share the love of Jesus? You know, you don't have to travel to Ecuador to do that. I think you can probably walk right next door to share that love. Remember, your loving actions, look how they love each other. Your loving actions, letting Christ's light, love, shine through you, that may actually give you the opportunity to share some words, God's words, words of life, God's words of love about a Savior who laid down his life for all people. Jesus' love really is a matter of death and life. Jesus gave his life on the cross for you. Jesus gave you life. Life with him now, today. And he promises you life with him forever. And Jesus has given you a love to share with others. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Dear friends, you'll never have to wonder if Jesus loves you. Amen.